You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As we chat on this Wednesday afternoon, Rockets are now 24-9 on the year, 13-2 in December. They polished off a big 123-107 win in Dallas. That's their fourth of the year in Dallas. And fresh back, well, got back overnight from the trip, is radio and TV lead broadcaster Craig Ackerman. He's been on the show before. Craig, first and foremost, welcome back. Secondly, I'm assuming everybody's pretty pleased to have made it home from Dallas without any further incident.
Yes, it was also nice to get that first sweep in almost 20 years of the Mavs. The Rockets were very dominant last night. They remain unbeaten on the second night of a back-to-back, which is really impressive. And as strange as last night's game was, for all the extracurricular activities, yes, it was nice that no further incidents occurred, and we'll see what happens when these two teams meet next season, but that's next season, and
yeah.
And again, the Rockets, just continue to roll.
Yep. As far as the extracurricular stuff, just want to get that out of the way early and get back to basketball. You kind of have a unique vantage point because, of course, you travel with these guys, you spend a lot more time with them, even than someone like me that's just a writer, a podcaster, stuff like that, so you've seen someone like Trevor Ariza up close and personal. And the reason I emphasize that is it pretty clearly takes a lot to set him off or set other players in that team off to the extent that they were last night. And it wasn't just Trevor. We heard the comments that Pat Beverly made to Rick Carlisle during the press conference, yelling about, good luck the rest of the season, coach, all that kind of stuff. It's a pretty rare circumstance. So to me, that says a lot of how unprofessional it probably was, whatever was going on. Is that what you saw on the ground?
There are a couple layers to Trevor Ariza. First of all, he's a pretty tough guy, and I probably wouldn't want to pick a fight with him if it were me. But the other part of it is that he is a professional. He is a pro's pro. He takes his craft very seriously. He always conducts himself in that manner. And yes, apparently something was said to the point that it drew that kind of reaction, extended reaction, yeah, from him, because it was ongoing during the course of play, and then in between quarters, it spilled over to there, too, and that was when he was ultimately teed up for a second time and ejected. So whatever was discussed and or said certainly crossed whatever line that these guys feel that shouldn't be crossed when it comes to that kind of stuff on the floor. I mean, players and teams, they talk trash to each other all the time. But again, whatever happened on the court last night crossed over that line. It was very chippy. It almost seemed at times that was kind of Dallas's game plan last night to try to get into the Rockets' heads and get them out of their game. But again, it was very bizarre. I mean, you had Ryan Anderson and Dirk Nowitzki going face to face, which was strange in and of itself. So I'm just glad that nobody got hurt. There were no further incidences, and I guess if this were hockey next year at the first drop of the puck, somebody would be dropping gloves. But since it isn't, I'll be curious to see what happens next year. But again, as I said earlier, that's next season.
Yeah. For now, one takeaway I had from it was that, it's always nice to see that your team has each other's backs. You've been around this team for 20 years. You've seen chemistry when it's good, chemistry when it's bad. Last night, obviously, it wasn't just Ariza. It was pretty clear after the game. Beverly, Harden, Eric Gordon, they pretty clearly supported one another. So at the very least, I think one positive you can take out of this is that this team, for better or for worse, they seem to be in it together. And, what happens to one of them seemingly happened to pretty much all of them, because they all played with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder.
No question about it. I mean, and talking with multiple players all year long from the word go, the vibe has been totally different with this team. Obviously, winning breeds chemistry and continuity and vice versa. And so when you win, even some of the minor issues that teams go through during the course of the season, where it's just sort of passed over, it's not a big deal. Obviously, those things get magnified when you're not winning, as was the case a season ago. But yeah, the chemistry with this group up and down is terrific. They are playing for one. Everybody's contributing. Everybody's allowed to contribute. And I think a lot of credit goes to A, James Harden for his leadership this year, which is, I think, the best he's shown in his career. We're sort of allowing this sort of culture to develop with this group and just, again, let him roll with it.
Yeah. Harden, these last two games, routes over the Suns and Mavs, 16-point wins, but really neither was that close. That's just garbage time. But Harden, 30-10, and didn't even play a minute in the fourth quarter of both games. There's so many great things you can say about James. He shot 50% or more from the field. But I think the biggest thing, you know, you've been kind of thin. Of course, you're without Capella. You were without Beverly last night. And although they don't play James's position per se, obviously there's a little bit of overlap with everything. And with the Rockets having two back-to-backs this week, with the Rockets having 17 games in January, that's something that Mike D'Antoni offered to us unsolicited on Monday, which...
And 10 of those 17 are on the road next
week. Yeah, and so you can tell he's thought about it. It seems especially important, and of course it starts with James, for the Rockets to be able to put away bad teams early. Because basically the last two nights you've had 8-plus minutes of garbage time to where not just you're playing with a lead, but you're playing with such a huge lead, you can empty out the bench. Bobby Brown, KJ McDaniels, Anuaku when he was here, Kyle Wiltshire. It just seems like when the Rockets are kind of a little thin, which is what they are for right now, although hopefully Beverly's back on Friday, it seems like the Rockets have taken to heart the message that, you know what, the earlier we can put away a game, the better, because that's going to help you not just in that one game, but in the next game down the line.
I just think that their style of play allows them to overwhelm people, because even when they're not playing all that well, they could come down on three or four consecutive trips and just stick three or four consecutive threes and turn a deficit into a lead, or have a slim lead and turn it into a blowout. I mean, just like that. I mean, they have so many quality shooters on this roster. It's very, again, it's very similar to what we've seen from Golden State over the last 3 years. There are so many quality shooters and scorers on their roster that even when things aren't technically going their way, or they're having, by their standards, an off night, they just, again, three or four consecutive possessions where bam, 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 next thing you know, you're up by 10-plus, and then it really is demoralizing to other teams. And the best teams in the league take care of the worst teams in the league, and that's what the Rockets are absolutely doing this season as well.
Yeah, I've mentioned before on this show that there's a certain psychology to how the Rockets play. And, of course, it's historic. We hear it all the time, just how many threes they shoot, just how many threes they make, both from an accuracy, a volume standpoint. And I've said before that, you know, because it's so rare, they're, you know, we're kind of in the early stages of figuring out how this goes. And one of the things that I've noticed is exactly what you said. It just feels like there are certain periods in a game where teams just get overwhelmed. That's the exact word that I use, because the Rockets are able to reel off, you know, 6 or 9 points so quickly. And I guess the Warriors are a fair example, because they've done a fair bit of this the last couple of years. But it just seems like, especially a lesser team, you know, they might hang around for a while, but whenever the Rockets hit them with one of these runs where they get off to, you know, 10 points in 90 seconds, then, you know, saying they fold is a little strong, but there's certainly a lot less resistance than there was before.
Oh, absolutely. It's demoralizing. And I can speak of it, I think we all can, firsthand, from playing, you know, watching these guys play against the Warriors the last couple of years. I mean, you'd be hanging in a game with them, and all of a sudden, you know, Curry and Thompson would hit like four consecutive threes, and the next thing you know, a three-point game turns into a 15-point game, and you're wondering, okay, what happened here? And it's over. And that's the pressure that this team, you know, puts on opposing teams. And again, that's the math behind shooting as many threes as the Rockets do. Look, when they were up 14 early last night, just to show the opposite power of the three, well, Dallas got, in the last 5.5 minutes of the first quarter, they went three crazy themselves. And all of a sudden, in just a handful of minutes, they were getting crushed. And then all of a sudden, they had a three-point lead because they were bobbing away and knocking down threes. I mean, that, is, again, is part of the reason why the Rockets believe so strongly in that. And this season, they now have, you know, a half a dozen guys who can hit threes on a regular basis. And so while they've been playing this way, again, this is their style on steroids with this group because they're approaching, you know, attempting 40 threes a night, and that's never been done before. But they've always been amongst the league leaders in attempting threes in the last handful of years. They just haven't had this many capable shot makers before. And so when, you know, most nights you're going to get an A-plus game from one of the best players in the world in James Harden, really all the Rockets need is one of, you know, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, Pat Beverly to have a hot shooting night, and there you go. The Rockets are nearly impossible to beat when that's the case.
Yeah, and last night it was certainly Ryan Anderson, team best plus 33, 22 points in his, 28 minutes? God, to be plus 33 in 28 minutes is just ridiculous. But
he's been fantastic.
Yeah, 22 points.
He's been a little up and down this year, obviously, with his home and road splits. But I think that's now behind him because he's been equally as good at home.
Yeah, I mean, this past week I thought he's been really big on that front because you've had a couple of games, including Monday night, where he clearly got going and you could see him getting that same confidence. To me, I like what I'm seeing from Ryan because when he gets going in the first and third quarters, it almost feels like the J.J. Redick effect for the Clippers, and that it helps you on, you know, two fronts. It, A, gets you going because a lot of these guys, especially like James Harden, it might take them a couple of minutes to get into the game, get into rhythm, and, you know, you have someone that's just a great shooter, gets you going. Secondly, I think having him hit those shots early in quarters, it then opens up the floor even more because then, you know, Ryan Anderson hits a shot from 30 feet. I mean, good God, where exactly is the defense supposed to defend? So, you know, it's early. Obviously, J.J. Redick has done that for the Clippers for a number of years. But are you seeing a lot of this?
Especially against the Rockets.
Yeah. but you know, you see where I'm going. Is that a fair trend to say that, you know, especially early in quarters, that Ryan Anderson's a big part of the Rockets getting off to, you know, early starts?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, and I'll add one more to that. I think, you know, it's important for coaching staffs to define roles of guys on their team because guys have, you know, sports, especially basketball, it's a rhythm game. And so if guys are comfortable with the minutes they're getting, the consistency that they're getting with those minutes, and their roles are defined by the coaching staffs, i.e., all right, we're going to try to get you involved early in halves of games, then I think that, again, allows guys to think less and just react more, which further allows them to settle in and be the player that they've been in their careers. If things are sporadic, rotations are sporadic, minutes are sporadic here and there, it's hard for a guy to develop a rhythm and a comfort level with the rotation. But again, I think that's another sort of feather in the cap of this coaching staff is that they have settled into defined roles, and you got to give the guys credit too. They've accepted those roles, and virtually everyone in that particular role, whatever it might be, has flourished in it.
Certainly. We'll close out this show by looking at the center rotation because obviously that's new with Capella's broken fibula announced last week. I'll get to Nene and Montrezl Harrell in a second. What I wanted to start with, last night was, it's a career high for Sam Dekker in rebounds with 11, and that's one thing that's kind of off the beaten path, but that's jumped out to me ever since Capella went out. It started with the San Antonio game, but Sam Dekker on the boards has been really good. His energy, you know, the Rockets have obviously had to take more of a team rebounding approach, but it seems like ever since Capella went down, Decker's one of those guys that, you know, even though of course it takes more of a team approach, the Rockets are still getting it done. They're out rebounding, I think, pretty much everybody in the past week, even after losing Capella.
He relentlessly attacks the offensive glass. Mm-hmm. And I agree on that front too. He's playing with tremendous energy. He had a completely broken rookie season because of his back issues, and he's developing into the player that many people thought he was going to be going into that particular draft a couple of years ago. I mean, a lot of people thought that he was going to be a lottery pick. He slipped a little bit further down the draft than that. I thought that he was, you know, when he was on those runs with Wisconsin in the Final Four, he was, you know, he was the best athlete on the floor. There were a lot of concerns about his shot coming in, but I think he has worked tremendously hard on improving that, and I think that's showing and developing as well. He's becoming a pretty reliable three-point shooter, too. He's got terrific size up the position, and again, he plays with fantastic energy, and much like Pat Beverly, just relentlessly attacks the offensive glass.
Yes, and you look at the two centers, and it offsets that really well, because Nene, Montrezl Harrell, obviously neither is particularly great in that area. I think this has been a really big week for Nene, and it's looked so impressive how the Rockets, of course, have been able to get these blowout wins, because it allows them to conserve Nene's minutes. But beyond that, Nene's metrics, the eye test, everything about him has looked better in December to me than November, and especially over the past week. Just curious what you're seeing from him, because it comes at an awful great time. You know, you lose Clint Capela, there's all this kind of, you know, negative publicity because people are worried about, well, what is that going to do to the team? And just as soon as Clint goes out, well, Nene steps up with some of the best games he's given him all year.
He's had a really good career. He's been a really good player for a really long time. He's just, he's been kind of injury prone, knock on wood, in that regard with him too, over the last couple of years. But remember, he was the first guy the Rockets visited in free agency. I think it was coming out of the lockout, if memory serves, or maybe it was the year after that. And, you know, it was the trade that wasn't with Pau Gasol, and then it was the, you know, the Rockets were in his living room, the first moment that they could be in his living room that particular free agency period. He ultimately decided, you know, to re-sign with Denver, but he's a player that the Rockets have coveted for a while. I think he gives them some versatility down there because he's a bigger body. He's a different kind of player. So if you have a very physical center on the opposing team, then you can match up those minutes with a guy like Nene because he's so strong and physically able to bang with those guys. Look, he was really good in the preseason. Really, really, really good in the preseason. He was a little bit on the inconsistent side in the first month, but as you mentioned, much like with everybody else, since Pat Beverly has come back, roles have been more defined. He settled more into that particular capacity as well, and he's been a perfect complement to Clint Capela. And now with Montrezl Harrell playing as well as he has, he's forced himself into the rotation. I mean, Mike D'Antoni has told me that he would prefer not to have to play three centers because it's hard. It's honestly not fair to all three of those guys because you're taking minutes away from the two guys that should be seeing minutes, and it hurts. Again, going back to the rhythm thing we were talking about, it hurts them in that regard. But Montrezl has been so effective, he has forced his way into the rotation. And now that Clint's been out, he kind of gives you some of what Clint did before he got hurt. So, again, I think all of those guys have complemented each other very, very well.
Yeah, and one of the things that I like about what Mike has done, the first game after Capela's injury, they started Nene, because that seemed advantageous with the Gasol matchup. You then had three smaller teams a little quicker, and they started Harrell. Then last night, they went back to Nene, and it shows, you know, there's no...
Well, last night's decision was made at the last moment.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Montrezl was going to start up until the point they found out that Andrew Bogut was starting, and then they decided to make the switch basically last second to match up, because they knew that Bogut was going to be on a minutes restriction.
Yeah.
And obviously, they want to... You know, they want to keep Nene on some sort of a minutes restriction as well, sure. Although I don't think it's technically, you know, defined as it is with some guys who are coming back from injury. But they felt that, again, because Bogut's a pretty physical guy and a bigger guy, that they would be able to match up, you know, their limited minutes together. And so that decision was made sort of last second.
Yeah. But I guess the bigger takeaway I had from it was that it's good to see that, you know, the team has bonded well enough, Mike feels comfortable, that they would do that in the first place. Because, you know, a lot of teams, there you have, especially with veterans guys, well, they want to start, they want to be in their role. And in this particular case, it seems like Nene, Montrez, everybody buys into whatever the coaching staff is selling them. So, you know, if Dallas...
When you're winning, it's a lot easier to sell that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, good point. And, of course, we'll see what happens on Friday because, well, we know Blake Griffin's not going to be there for the Clippers. We'll see on Chris Paul. Certainly DeAndre Jordan will be there. So that's going to be by far the biggest challenge that the Rockets have faced yet without Clint Capela in terms of opposing presence in the middle. any early thoughts on the Clippers? Obviously, I know a lot's going to depend on the Chris Paul situation, but it's a big game for the Rockets. I know it's just December, but they've already got 2 games of separation between themselves and LA for that 3 spot. If you can win that game Friday and get 3 games of separation, I mean, I know it's extremely early in the grand scheme, but man, that would feel really good.
It's an important game. I mean, it's one of those teams you're fighting with for playoff positioning, and yes, I mean, it ultimately comes down to whether or not, you know, Chris Paul is going to play, because he's sort of the, you know, the engine that drives the Clippers, and they have, needless to say, struggled, you know, since he's been out with this injury, even though it's not, you know, it's not a major injury or anything like that. But yeah, it's a big game. First meeting between those two teams. Obviously, in recent years, there's a lot of history between the Rockets and the Clippers with that playoff series. It may be a team that you ultimately could face at some point in the postseason. And again, it's another challenge against one of the best teams in the league. The Rockets have several signature wins this season, and especially if Chris Paul happens to play on Friday night and the Rockets win, it would be yet another, you know, feather in the cap in terms of signature wins. It'll be a sellout crowd. The atmosphere should be terrific, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yep, we are as well. Craig, thanks so much for joining us. For you personally, Rockets are home for, what, the next 4? So are you on all?
Yep.
Are you on all radio, or is Bill taking the
all radio?
Off?
All radio. Yeah, last night was a rare road game for Bill on TV. So I actually did radio last night too. But yeah, I am. I will be on the radio call for this entire homestand coming up, and then. And then all of January, when we're on the road, I'll have on the TV as we'll settle back into that. But Bill will travel here and there, typically to the cities that aren't very far away.
Right. That was my thought. You know, just the same way that Bill Brown made all the road trips to Arlington with the Astros. It kind of felt fitting for Bill Worrell to make that kind of trip, you know, to Dallas or San Antonio, an easier one with the Rockets. But then. What, we're a couple of weeks away from, I think, to go back on the road, what, like Toronto, Orlando, I think, like East Coast, that kind of thing?
I think the bigger trip is, I don't have the schedule for me, I think that's at the, isn't that towards the tail, there's another, the Rockets' 3rd 5-game trip of the season, I think it's towards the tail end of the month, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, shoot, yeah, I just pulled it up, yeah, end of the month, yeah, then you've got at Memphis, at Milwaukee, at Boston, at Philly, at Indiana, so, yeah. Good thing is that only one of those teams, Memphis, is, well, I guess you can throw Boston in there too. They're starting to play better, especially good. But yeah, that's one of those bare of a 5-game road trips. And so I'm sure you'll have to pack for 10 days. But anyway.
Hey, it's part of the job. I don't work for a living, so you're not going to hear me complaining at all about the travel. I love what I'm doing. And in fact, honestly, I really enjoy road games because I like the feeling of going into "quote unquote" enemy territory, if you will, and especially when the Rockets happen to win on the road, it's always nice to head back to the bus with a road win because everybody's in a great mood afterwards.
Last night,
trust me, everybody was in a great mood.
Yeah, despite everything that happened. Yeah, and the good news is that the Rockets, people have been in a great mood a lot over these first 2 months. Craig, thanks so much for the time, buddy.
Anytime.
I'll see you
so
Friday
much.
At Toyota Center. Okay.
Yep, Happy New Year, Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's Craig Ackerman, voice of the Rockets. Again, when they're on the road, he's typically the TV voice on Root Sports Broadcast. When they're at home, as they will be for the next 4, he's the lead radio voice on Sports Talk 790. But Craig is as close to the team as there is. That's why I thought that he was a great source, because not only is he following the team like I do and like a lot of the writers, but he's actually on the flights with these guys. He knows them as well as anybody. So I thought in the aftermath of last night's extracurricular activity in Dallas, he would be a perfect source to shed some light on that, as well, just the team as a whole and all the positive stuff they've been doing on the floor throughout this 24-9 start. If you're not already following him on Twitter, you can do that at @CA_Rockets. He's an excellent source for all sorts of info about the Rockets. And yeah, he'll be on the radio call Friday night against the Clippers. If you can't get to Toyota Center or you're not lucky enough to watch it on TV, he'll have the call for you at sports790.com as well as 790 on your AM radio dial. And with that said, I will wrap up. Apologies for brief audio difficulties with Craig, but I was able to get that straightened out fairly quickly. I also apologize for not having an immediate post-game show after last night's game, but as I explained on Twitter, it's one of those where when you go out and beat an outmanned opponent the way the Rockets did in Dallas, and they also did against Phoenix on Monday night, there's not that much that I, in particular, can tell you guys that's not already there. Now, of course, we're going to talk about it from time to time, but this felt like, especially with kind of the extracurricular activity being the headliner, a good chance to, you know, get some insight from someone on the ground. Unfortunately, I don't travel with the team. I go to the games at Toyota Center. I'm not on the road that often, but Craig almost always is, so he was a great source and a better source than me just telling you guys. Thought he would actually explain it with a little bit of on-ground intel, and so I hope you guys enjoyed that. This weekend, it'll be back to normal home games against the Clippers and Knicks on the 30th, and then, of course, the New Year's Eve game. That's against New York, and I'll have much more regular coverage than for you guys here at Locked On Rockets. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. You can follow me on Twitter, simply at Ben Dubose. The show, Locked On Rockets. Follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets, or email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Any suggestions, questions, you name it, we want to be your source for daily information on this basketball team. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which is available pretty much everywhere that you want to subscribe and listen to media: iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, Stitcher. Just search for the Locked On Podcast Network, search for Locked On Rockets, search for any show you want on an NBA or NFL team. That includes the Houston Texans, where there's a sister Locked On Texans podcast hosted by my buddy Robert Land. Texans gearing up for a second straight playoff appearance. They've got one more regular season game. It's interesting, of course, for the Texans, it's less about their game this weekend. It's more about three other games in terms of who they're going to play, what their playoff route is going to be. But if you want to hear about that stuff, Robert Land has you covered. So please check out Locked On Texans as well. For now, I will sign off and start getting ready for these two games this weekend. Hope all of you guys have a happy holiday, happy new year, and I'll be talking with you again on Friday and Saturday nights from Toyota Center when the Rockets take on the Clippers and the Knicks. For now, bask in the glory that the Rockets, not only did they beat the Mavs 123-107, they have swept the Mavs 4-0 over the course of this year. It's the first time they've had a four-game sweep of Dallas since 97-98. So if you felt bad about all the dominance that Dallas had over Houston on the baseball diamond, it has been completely flipped because your Houston Rockets, well, they're pretty much dominating almost everybody out there, but that especially is true against teams like the Dallas Mavericks. And if you need any kind of holiday bragging rights over your friends around Texas, well, Rockets fans, you've got it right now. Enjoy it. Talk to you this weekend.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.